Hello, Nation. Welcome to Animaga Nation. With me, Icelick, and He-Man 493.
Hello, and Nation.
We also have a new member with us. Her name is Jazze.
Hello.
We're doing a R&D for Dr. Stone episode 18 called Stone Wars.
Stone Wars.
Yeah.
Where stones battle each other for dominance.
Yep. And it was like more of a preparation for Stone Wars episode.
The rocks prepare for the epic battle against stones. So, yeah. Join us in this epic journey.
The episode does a little mini recap of what the previous episode, the ending in the last episode is, where Senku arrives at the village and Gen talks about Tsukasa. And after Gen tells Senku about Tsukasa's army getting ready, there's like a little flashback of Gen talking to Tsukasa, and he talks about how Senku is gathering enemies for him and stuff like that. So it goes back to where Senku and everybody else is in the village. Kenro notices that there's men out in the field. Like, there's like, he sees like men hiding in the trees and in the grass. And he tells Ginro to alert everybody. And Ginro starts running down to the bridge. And we see this guy called Hariguya, something like that. I don't know how to say his name, but he's standing by the tree and he starts to get ready to... He starts sending men to attack Ginro. And the men end up losing. Like, Kenro ends up beating them up, and Hariguya talks to Kenro, and I mean, as they're fighting, Gen is talking to Senku about Hariguya, and everyone sees that Kenro's getting attacked by them. And apparently Hariguya ends up knocking Ginro off the bridge, and Ginro is forced to cut the bridge because Ginro tells him to cut the bridge and let him fall, and he's there pausing and thinking whether he should do it or not. And so, Richard, what did you think about that moment where Ginro had to, like, think to himself whether he should cut the bridge and let his brother fall?
I think that was weird. At first, he was scared because of the fact that it is his brother. I mean, you don't want to see a family member be put in a very critical situation. But also, he had to trust his brother. That was the thing. His trust in his brother. He had to understand that his brother knows what he's doing, and that his brother will be okay. So I think in that context, I think he knew that he took solace in knowing that his brother was going to be okay. He'll find his way back home and they'll be together again. This bridge can be rebuilt whenever it needs to be.
And when I saw this scene, I wasn't thinking that anything bad was going to happen to Ginro. It seemed like to me that Ginro was kind of probably over-exaggerating it, because he was just going to fall into the ocean. I was kind of thinking that nothing bad was going to happen, really. But you never know, I guess.
Yeah.
So, it was really sad to see Ginro in that position, where see him kind of sad about his brother. He was like really crying. Like, oh, my brother's going to die.
Or maybe they were, in a way, I guess, playing to their strengths, trying to distract the enemy, or that could be a way of doing it. You know, we don't know exactly. Well, we kind of know why, you know, because of the enemy coming closer. But at the same token, they were able to escape. And it shows the trust between those two. It shows the trust between those two brothers that cut this bridge. And I know that you're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. And then Gero decides not to cut down the bridge because he says that he can't do it. He can't pull it off. And Senku decides to think of a plan to distract Hayaguya. Ariga, whatever his freaking name is. So yeah, he tells Magma to throw a rock at Hayaguya. Ariga. He tells us to throw a rock at him while he gets the gunpowder and makes that gun. And as he's about to shoot the gun, Gen like puts the gun down and makes Senku miss and warns everybody to run. Like he was telling Hayaguya to run away because Senku has a lot of science powers with him. It's like you gotta be careful. He has weapons. He has bombs. He has guns. So get ready. You don't want to mess with Senku and his army.
He has a copy of Dragon Ball Evolution in his back pocket just in case. That'll kill anybody's spirit right there.
So they actually went away. You know, I was really surprised about this scene about Hayaguya was actually... He actually ran away with his army. Like, I didn't think he was going to go away. I thought he was going to think that Gen was bluffing. You know, he was bluffing.
And that's the thing. When people call you on your bluff, you're just like, oh.
Yeah.
And he called him on his bluff. And he got caught with his hand in the cookie jar. So now it's time to face the consequences.
Yeah. So Genro and Senku end up saving Kimuro from the bridge after Hayaguya leaves leaves the village. And It was kind of funny, this scene, because you see Senku like shooting a whole bunch of, I forgot what it was. Like he was shooting something to Kenro like a whole bunch of times. So like it was like very animated scene. Like it's like very cartoony. It was kind of funny how they did that scene. Like he was shooting him with a bunch of, I think it was salt or it was something like that, but
yeah.
He was trying to heal his wounds from that. Because I do remember that Hayaguya stabbed Kimuro in the stomach and there was like blood leaking out, so.
I mean, that is a fatal wound right there.
Yeah.
And I thought he was, I was like, please don't be done for it. Because you have so much. I'm like, don't kill him off so early. I'm glad they didn't. But I was like, don't kill him off so early.
Mm-hmm. After Senku nurses Kimuro back to health, they end up going back to the the base of where they make the science stuff. And we see Kimuro climbing up the ladder and he says that he's fine. He'll be prepared for next battle. And everybody was telling him, it's like, no, you're not ready for battle. And you see like the blood is leaking out of his stomach. To show that he's obviously not okay. He still needs time to heal.
Yeah, I have blood coming out of my stomach, but never fear, everyone. I'm going to save everybody. Instead of me sitting my behind down and listening to my friends when they tell me that I'm injured. Like, just I don't like those type of characters where, like, they're so try hard, just so busy trying to play with games or constantly add. Well, constantly doing things without thinking. And you're hurt. You're bleeding out. But you want to play hero. No, go fix you. Take care of you. Can't save anybody if you're not okay.
Well, we kind of knew this was coming from Kenro because he did this in the last time he was getting ready for the tournament where he was stubborn to get glasses. And he feel like he didn't need the glasses and he went to battle unprepared and look what happens there. He lost the match. So yeah. I think this is a kind of a habit from Kenro. He's very stubborn and he thinks he can do anything and not realize that has limits with himself. So after that, we cut to another scene where Gen talks to the Haraguya's men, the army, and Haraguya talks to them about that they gotta prepare for battle because Senku is a very fierce warrior. Like, he was trying to like gas Senku up a lot in this scene. Like, he was trying to tell Haraguya that the type of weapons that he has, like, he was observing his spear and seeing how strong it is, and he was trying to tell him that he doesn't think his spear was going to be good enough for Senku. But he was being real honest, I think, at that moment. Like, he was telling the truth that he doesn't think that the spear is going to have any potential what Senku's going to have at him. He tried to get them prepared, and while that's happening, Kenro got his glasses because he needed glasses to fight Hyoga. I don't know how to say his name, but Senku gets Kenro's glasses, and everyone is like impressed by him having glasses. Like, they see how gorgeous he looks, I guess. And I think Kenro was getting a little cocky when he had the glasses, and
I look good, bro.
Yeah, and because Kosuke gets ready for battle as well, and there's like a certain scene where his clothes rip off and he's like naked. That was a real funny scene. Yeah, they get prepared for battle, and as they're preparing for battle, they fall into weather problems. Like, there's like a rainstorm, and it was Hyoga. He was thinking he had an advantage of the battle because there was weather going on, and he thought that he was gonna win. He had an advantage because I guess science affects. I mean, is affected by weather or something like that. So they were thinking that way. And as they're preparing for battle in the bridge, and Haguya only sees Senku there, and Senku surprises them with katanas, and he's like, all the other men come in, and everyone has a katana sword.
Dun dun dun.
He was talking about how special swords are made, and it's like, where did they come from? Like, he gave a whole monologue about swords.
He gave a whole monologue about how important swords are.
Yeah, gave a whole dialogue about swords, and it's like,
okay. I'm like, oh, we get it. You're strong. Cool. Move on. Like, seriously. You don't need to go through a freaking speech, Senku.
He goes to a speech for everything. I noticed this anime.
Yeah, I mean, that was deep. I did not expect that. I was like, oh, they got swords. Somebody about to get their arm cut off. Let's see.
Yeah, because I thought they were going to talk about the guns, but they started to talk about the swords. And it's like, where did that come from?
Yeah, they did talk about guns. But I guess swords were like the first step to guns. Like, damn, they got swords now. But keep in mind, what if Tsukasa gains a sword?
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that it's not. He can't. He can force himself, use his might, take a sword, and then now he has power.
Yeah.
So, it doesn't mean that he's defeated just yet. It's a step forward. Remember, he can use a sword as much as anybody else. So I was like, eh, that's okay. I just needed, like, what are you going to do when Tsukasa has a sword of his own? That's the true test.
Oh, yeah. I wonder how that's going to work out. And so Senku's gang were taking down all the men that Haguya had. And because they had spears, and their spears weren't that great. And Haguya was the only spear that was pretty awesome. He was good at it. And I remember there's a certain scene where Haguya was using he's like doing some type of technique that he puts a spear in a circle. And they were having difficulty, and they were having some challenges to fight Haguya, everybody. So Gen decided to take it was Kinro, Magma, and Kahaku. They were decided to plan an attack to take Haguya down. So they decided to work together and figure out a way to take him down. So I remember it was Kinro and Magma was distracting Haguya. And Kohaku decided to flip, like do a backflip, and Hyoga his spear gets cut down by Kohaku. That's what happened. And Goya gets pissed and realizes that Gen is a traitor because he found out Gen was the one that was telling the technique to take him down.
So Gen no longer has his trump. He has no longer access to both the Kingdom of Might and the Kingdom of Science. Now he's just playing Kingdom of Science now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like when I was watching this part, I noticed, like, I guess Gen is actually Team Senku. He's not part of the Kingdom of... It's Kingdom of Might, I guess. You're right about that. He's not part of Tsukasa's clan, so. What did you guys think about that? That Gen decided to be with Senku?
Okay. Well, if you ask me, it's a smart choice. Plus, he wants the cola so bad, so why would he be on the side of the other team? And also, just the advantages of helping with health and different weaponry and technology. I'm sure he misses a whole bunch of technology, and he's not going to get it in the other kingdom.
Oh, yeah, that's true, because Tsukasa's anti-technology, I notice. Which is not a great way of the world to survive, to be honest.
Well, what Tsukasa is doing is he's trying to suppress adults. He doesn't want the adults to have strength. He believes by getting rid of adults that he can choose the next chosen generation. It's a very sadistic thing where it's because he had a bad experience with an adult who abused his sister. Mm-hmm. He believes that all adults are bad. So this limited amount of information has made him into this tyrant who believes that killing is okay because it's for the greater good. And notice that, and I talked about this in the earlier episodes, notice that this is a trope called the Templar Knight. And a lot of villains have this trope where they what they think they're doing is for the betterment of humanity.
oh, I'm doing this for everyone. This is going to help people. I'm not a bad guy. I'm just doing this because it's the right thing to do. And in a way, he has a lot of points, but at the same token, this is not the way to do it. So when Senku is a person who believes that he wants to help the people, he wants everything to go back to the way it was. He wants to open up a new generation of people. And I think that's something that's valuable. So when you ever see a villain in anime and video games and comic books, they always, the majority of them believe that what they're doing is for the betterment of humanity or for the betterment of the race to defend. There are a lot that do say, oh, I'm doing it for myself, but it's very rare. It's usually they think they're the good guy.
Yeah. And it seems like we're going to find out eventually who's actually doing stuff for the betterment of mankind, I guess, by the end of the season.
Right.
So, yeah, apparently after Hyoga finds out that Gan is a traitor, there's a scene where Senku tells Sukiya that Gan has left some clues about some blade.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling Sukiya to go find them. So you see Sukiya, she brings her little dog, her cute little dog, and she's looking at the flower fields and notice that there's like just flowers in each section, and she figured that maybe the blade is in the flowers. And she decided to get the blade and give it to Gen. And Gen talks about the blade. Like, he gets the blade from Sukiya, and he does his own monologue about the blade, and the episode ends there.
So. More monologuing about
blade. Yeah, I know. They keep monologuing. That's one thing about this anime. Like, there's always a monologue before the actual thing they're gonna prepare to do. So, yeah. So, how do you guys feel that Senku's army's been taking Hagoya's army down with their katanas, and see that the spear is not so much of a great weapon to take them down?
I mean, it's a step forward. It's a step forward. It's not guns, but it's a step forward. This is really something that will now put a little bit of fear into the Kingdom of Might, and they will also make them think twice about just coming to attack them. But now we have to understand what happens if Tsukasa forces himself into the Kingdom of Science, takes a sword for himself. Does that mean now it's an even playing field? Because if he's the only one that has a sword, it's still not even because of the fact that his people don't have swords. So in a way, it keeps him on top of the food chain in his group, but it doesn't really help prolong the group. So I think that now Tsukasa is going to know about the swords. He's going to respond to it. And I don't know. I don't think it's a step forward, but it's not a defeat. I'll say it like this. We've won the battle, but we haven't won the war yet. That's all I'll say.
Is there anything for you to say, Jazz?
I think the swords were a good idea just because of the time constraints that they had. A gun would be pretty hard to make, and they were coming in a few days. I did see Senku, like, with a fake bomb, so maybe I don't know if it was fake or not, he didn't use it. So maybe they can get that, and having bombs will definitely give them an advantage.
Indeed.
Yeah. I did see Can about I... that with the bombs, but they didn't really do anything with it yet.
Actually, like, I have to take a moment to talk about something important.
Why?
People sometimes, they tend to disappear from anime, and we have two people that are missing right now. Taiju and Yuzura. They're very nice people. They love each other very much, and what we're asking you guys out there, if you've seen them anywhere, please email us so that we can help them come back into the anime.
They disappeared.
Your calls will bring these two back into relevance again. Thank you.
Oh my god. I noticed this episode went by pretty quickly because it was mostly a battle episode, and I noticed the battle episodes then tend to go quickly.
Maybe the pace is going a little bit faster because now that we're in the thick of it, there's no more need to explain. There's no more world building. So it's just moving on. Because the world building kind of slows down a story because you have to explain things. Now, with the world building being done, it's like, okay, let's move. Let's go. Action's picking up. And I'm stoked to see what happens, and hopefully our listeners will help us find Taiju and Yuzura and bring them home safely to their anime where they can be relevant again.
Mm-hmm.
The power is in your hands, Nation. You can help them.
So, I think that's it for Dr. Stone. I mean, is there anything you guys want to discuss about this episode?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Alright, so I guess that'll be it for this episode. And in the next episode, we're going to have Jazz talk a bit more. So that'll be it for Dr. Stone episode 18, Stone Wars. And looking forward to episode 19 called Modernity. So I look forward to that, and hopefully we get to know more about where the hell Taiju and
Yuzura.
Huh?
Taiju and Yuzura, we're coming for you. Don't worry, we're gonna bring you back to relevance again.
Yeah. Hopefully you find those two characters eventually. So see you guys later. I guess that'll be it.